Ordinary Fellowship is a podcast inspired by the Puritan practice of godly conference, or spiritual conversation among believers. These spiritual conversations will offer practical spiritual help for Christian living. I'm Jeremy Lee, and with me today is my friend and co-host, Matthew McLaughlin.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hey. Today we're going to talk about a subject that is near and dear to my heart, especially, and Matthew too, but probably more me than him. I don't know.
Probably slightly.
Yeah. Okay. Today we're going to talk about, it's getting near the end of the year, so we want to spend some time talking about some of the books we read this year, and maybe if we have time, talk about some things for next year. But before we get into that specifically, I just want to say a few words about reading in general. Several years ago, I found a blog that it was called something about how to read 72 books a year. At the time, I was only reading like a book a month, maybe. And I was trying to, you know, I'd work all day, and then when I got done, I'd want to read, so I wasn't spending time with my family and kids like I wanted to. And this was really helpful for me, not only in the fact that it helped me to read more books. I never have gotten to 72, but it did help me to drastically increase my reading. But it also helped me to plan a schedule so that I wasn't spending family time reading. And I was actually paying attention to my wife and children. Basically, the idea is you break up, if you read, supposedly, and I, like I said, I've never done this, but supposedly, if you read, an average reader, if you read for an hour a day, can read 72 books a year. I must be a below average reader because I've never been able to reach that. An hour a day seems maybe overwhelming, but this article recommends breaking it up into segments. So it suggested a half an hour of reading at breakfast, 15 minutes at lunch, and then 15 minutes in the evening. And you could get your hours worth of reading in for the day. So it was really helpful for me because before my family was awake, I'd spend a half an hour reading in the morning. And then at lunchtime, I'd spend 15 minutes. And then at some point in the evening, I could spend 15 minutes reading. And it wasn't really a big deal and wasn't taken away from anything. You don't necessarily have to follow that schedule. And maybe you can't give an hour a day. But 30 minutes a day, whether in 15-minute increments or 30-minute increment, one large 30 increments a day, could help you read more. Reading's important, obviously. I hope I don't have to defend why you would want to read it, but watch one less episode of The Office and spend that time reading instead. So, and then you can read more books. And the important thing isn't just reading books, but growing in knowledge. That's obviously the goal. Knowing God and knowing yourself and knowing the world is the goal for our education. So that's hopefully why you're reading, because we're supposed to do everything we do, whether we eat or drink or whether we read a book, to the glory of God. Matthew's nodding, so I think he's... Yeah, I think he's all right.
Yes, I would wholeheartedly agree. The one little cliche I heard that kind of sticks in my head is leaders are readers. We need to always understand that there's more for us to learn. We never reach a point where we don't need to learn anymore. And one of the best ways to do that is to read. And then just one caveat, Jeremy and I have talked about this before, read old books.
Yeah.
There's lots of wisdom in old books. Now, granted, they're harder to read, but they're good for your soul. So read old books.
Yes, they are. All right. So I asked Matthew to come up with his worst book of the year and the most important book, but I think he failed to find the worst book. So apparently all his books were good.
I wouldn't say they were all good, but... I don't know that I could call one worse, although there were a few that were more pamphlets, but that gets into Corona, and we don't want to go there.
That is true. We are going to avoid that issue because nobody wants to hear about it anymore.
Correct.
Since Matthew didn't have a worse book, I guess I'll just share mine. So there's actually two. One of them I didn't finish because it was so utterly boring. It was about the rise of Islam. The topic interested me, but I slogged through the first 100 pages and just could not get anywhere. I couldn't even tell you what I read from the first 100 pages. And I won't say the name of the book or the author because I don't want to. He's a good author, but that one, I don't know. Maybe it was just me. But the other worst book, I will tell you the title. It's called In the President's Secret Service. Kessler is the last name of the author. And this was a book where the Secret Service finally was supposed to speak out and tell their experiences of past presidents. The information in the book was good, interesting. I don't know that it was good. The writing was horrid. When they were talking about the presidents, it was like just a string of quotations from the Secret Service. He didn't even attempt to make it into a narrative. It was really bad writing. And then I was really disappointed in the time that was spent talking about the children of the president, specifically George W. Bush's daughters. I really think that was in poor taste. They didn't sign up for that, and it's unfair to have their private lives broadcast like that. That really did not sit well with me. I finished the book because I was interested in the information, but it was a difficult reading, constantly being angry for the terrible writing. I don't recommend that book at all. It's an older book. It's been out for a little, not an old book, but it's been out for 10 years probably. I got it from the library, so it was free to me, and I didn't have anything to read at the time, so I picked that up and read through it. And that was, without question, the worst book that I read this year. So what was your most important or best book that you've read this year, Matthew?
Well, there's one I read and there's one I'm working on. But the first one that I read that was probably, I would say, the most important is a book that came out at the beginning of the year by Dane Ortlund called Gentle and Lowly. And in it, he traces through how the subtitle is The Heart of Christ for Sinners and Sufferers, and they're short devotional chapters, but they very much speak to who Jesus is and because of who Christ is, how he affects the believer's daily life. I can't say enough good things about it. He starts by going to Matthew 11 and talks about that the only description of Jesus' heart is, it says, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." He says that his heart is gentle and lowly and just what that actually means. And then he launches from there into just the chapters of how Christ is able to sympathize with us and how he understands and all of those types of things, that he will never cast us out. He's an advocate, how he's a tender friend and all of that. So that was the first book that was, to me, a very good book. The second one I'm working on...
What was the name of that again?
It's called Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlund. Gospel Coalition just put out the book list for the year, and it won the best devotional book. And in it, the descriptor is that it's a book that, though you can't call it a classic yet, it feels like in 100 years people will still be reading this book. It's very, very well written and well done. The second book that I would call most important, I'm working through it now, is a book that just came out, written by Carl Truman, called The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self. And if you want to understand why the culture is the way it is, then I would strongly encourage you to pick up a copy of this book by Carl Truman and read it. He lays out, he's a church historian, he lays out just how the culture arrived at the point where self, or the idea of self, is the most important thing in our culture today. and all of the issues and problems that arise from believing that self is the most important issue in our culture today. So those would be the two books that I would say were probably the most important books that I am reading or I have read. So Jeremy, what was your most important book?
Well, I do want to make a comment about Carl Truman. That book looks really interesting to me, and I would like to read it. But right now, I'm kind of burnt out on those kind of cultural books.
Yeah, I understand.
You can only handle so much of them.
Correct.
It's usually pretty depressing.
Yeah.
So that is an important book, and it's all over the blogs, and he's doing podcasts and all that. So I've listened to several things by Carl Truman. He's really good. I've enjoyed him. Dane Ortlund, I've never read anything from him. Although his dad was at locally a few years ago. He did a conference at one of the churches, and he was really good. So I appreciate that. So maybe those are books that I need to get. So the one that I thought was the most important, this isn't a book from this year. I don't even know when it was published. Not that it matters. 2017 is The Five Proofs of, or called Five Proofs of the Existence of God by Edward Fazer. A lot of people think that faith and reason are in conflict when it comes to Christianity, but faith and reason are not in conflict. And this book shows five different arguments for the existence of God, that you can arrive at the conclusion that there is a God through our reason. And I think it's really important. It's an apologetic book, which means it's defending the faith. And there are many Christians today who think that you can't prove that God exists. Fazer disagrees with that. I disagree with that. I think these are solid proofs for the existence of God. He does a very good job. There's five different proofs in this book. Then there's two chapters, one talking more about how God relates to the world, and then there's a final chapter dealing with objections. And so it's a really good book. However, it's difficult reading. This is not something you want to read if you're if you're just starting out. This is high college level reading material. It's academic. But if you're interested in apologetics, R.C. Sproul has a couple books on apologetics. Norman Geisler is really good when it comes to these things. Those are two authors that I like when it comes. They would come at it from a more popular level than from this academic level that Fazer's coming at. But if you're up for it, it's worth reading Fazer's book, The Five Proofs of the Existence of God.
So those would be our most important books, but we also spend some time just thinking through some other books that if you haven't read, you should probably take the time to read them. One, as an example, would be, I know J.I. Packer died this year, but if you've never read Knowing God, you should read Knowing God. It's a good entry point to understand who God is, and it just lays out his characteristics. So that would be a good book.
It's devotional, too, not academic, not...
Right.
It's not... heady. It's good reading that you'll enjoy and be spiritually blessed by.
It is. Can you think of any other books that maybe you've just read, you read this year that they might not be, they didn't make the most important, but you would think you would encourage somebody to read?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of reading in regards to racial issues. So I'm trying to read from a variety of people. I started the year reading The Narrative of Life of Frederick Douglass. I read Martin Luther King's letter from a Birmingham jail. I read his I Have a Dream speech. I read Frederick Douglass's What is the 4th of July to a Slave? Those were all really good. In the past, I've read Booker T. Washington's book, Up from Slavery. I've read some historical writings as far as racial issues, but then I'm reading some other things too. Shelby Steele's book, White Guilt, was very interesting and probably and no doubt controversial because he doesn't toe the party line. So I thought that was good. But I still have a lot more that I intend to read this year. I'd like to eventually read a biography of Martin Luther King to understand his life more. But there's lots of things. I think it's good to... This was at the very end of last year. James Cone is a big guy in black liberation theology. So I'm trying to read both sides, even though I disagree with black liberation theology. I'm trying to read both sides. And that the only book that I could find from him in the library was The Cross and the Lynching Tree, which is really just a history of lynching in the United States. I say the book was really good, but it's on a terrible subject, so it's hard to read, but it was really eye-opening to me. And, of course, he had his viewpoint involved in there, but, you know, other than that, the rest of the book was really, really good and informative. I definitely read a lot about racial issues. Beginning of the year, because it was the 400th anniversary of the Pilgrims, I read a couple books on the Pilgrims and the American Puritans. So those were good. In fact, I didn't write this down, so I can't remember the name of the book, but there was one book that I read. Maybe as I talk, I can find it on my phone. There was one book I read about the Pilgrims that really told the backstory of the Pilgrims. It told about how they got to the point where they were ready to leave. And it was very, very good. And J.I. Packer actually wrote a recommendation for it. It was called The Journey to the Mayflower by Stephen Tompkins. Really good book. Helped you understand not just the Pilgrims' life, but also their theological beliefs as well. I really enjoyed that one thoroughly. And that one was from the library, the Dayton Metro Library, so you can get that easily and check it out if you're interested in the Pilgrims, even though next year is only the 401st anniversary. You don't have all zeros. That makes it more important, right?
Sure.
I didn't set out to pick these themes at the beginning of the year. I have done that in the past. These are just some things that I was interested in. And really, the reason I read is because I'm curious. I want to know. I want to have answers. And that's what really drives my reading. It's not that I so much enjoy reading, per se. It's getting the answers that I like. Is there anything else that you have?
Not that I can think of. I mean, there's always good books you can, but just trying to think more on a popular level, because a lot of the books I've been reading were counseling books, and they're not exactly for everybody's cup of tea.
Yeah.
Most people don't want to read a book about what classifies abuse, but it's a really good book by Darby Strickland, but probably not everybody's cup of tea. We've talked about some books, but Jeremy's mentioned it before, that he kind of sets out a plan. As you begin to think about next year, what's your goal? What's your set out plan for how you want to read next year?
Well, in the past, I've done themes. One year I read everything that Tim Keller wrote up to that point. So I read all his books. I enjoyed them thoroughly, too. One year I read all the preaching books that I have, and had some new ones that I included as well that I'd never read before. So those are the kind of things that I try to think through at the beginning of the year. Is there any? Sometimes it's books that I have. Sometimes it's books that I'm going to buy or whatever. And sometimes, like, I know 2017 was the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, so, you know, I had to read some of Martin Luther and things like that throughout the year because of the anniversary. But so I'm saying that not just to say what I've done, but give people ideas. Like, I think it's great to pick an author and read everything you can that they wrote. Now, some people, that's hard to do because they write so much. Like, you don't want to pick John MacArthur. Even if you skip his commentaries, you're not going to be able to get through all that. But even if you, you know, like, I'm thinking R.C. Sproul, he has a ton of books. But if you picked his major works, his major books, and worked your way through them, that would be a very, very good way to spend some of your reading through the year, just because I like R.C. Sproul. But there's plenty of others. I mean, you mentioned J.I. Packer. His books are wonderful. There's nothing that I've read by him that I haven't enjoyed. So it wouldn't be a bad idea to read everything that J.I. Packer wrote. Or spend the year reading about apologetics or something like that. But this year, I've decided I always read theology, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But I decided I'm going to work on a book on a biography, and I'm leaning towards Charles Spurgeon, possibly in addition to him or in the place of one of the presidents of the United States. I've been trying to read those biographies, so I haven't made any final decisions on these yet, but this is the way I'm headed. I want to read a political book, and when I say political, I don't mean like Sean Hannity's latest book, or not those kind of books. Something that's more in-depth and that will stand the test of time. Something history-related. That one I haven't even decided where to go. And then this year, I generally read history, politics, and biography, okay? That's not really anything new. But one of the reasons planning it out is important to me is because I think I need to read something science-related. So I'm looking at a couple books from the library trying to decide. One of them's like 500 pages. And even though it sounds really interesting, I don't know if it's 500 pages worth of excitement. So, and then the other one is by Neil deGrasse Tyson. I think that's how you say his name. Just about astrophysics. So I'll be picking one of those books, and we might be talking about astrophysics next year, but probably not.
Oh boy.
And then I like to make sure I include fiction. I'm not a big fiction reader. But usually when I read fiction, it's something like classic fiction. This year I read Dune because before coronavirus came out, there was going to be a new version of Dune that was supposed to come out in December, but coronavirus has put that off till 2021. So I read the book, and it was enjoyable. Never read it before, but it was quite lengthy. I like to think through it so that I'm making sure that I, because like I said, science isn't something that I'm generally reading about, but there it is something that I should read more about. So because I'm thinking ahead of time and not just reading spur of the moment, whatever sale there is on Kindle books or whatever Ligonier Ministries is giving away for free, I try to plan what I'm going to be doing for the year. I may not get through all of these, but you also said read old books, and usually when it comes to theology, that's what I'm reading. So if talking about lengthy books, I'm hoping to read The City of God by Augustine this year. I've been concentrating on two theologians of the past, Thomas Aquinas and Augustine. And I read some of Aquinas, and I read Augustine's Confessions this year, and want to read his City of God. And then I have all the works of John Bunyan, and I have all the works of Jonathan Edwards. Not all the works of Edwards, because that's like a 12-volume set, I think. But I have the two volume set from Banner of Truth, so I'm hoping to I want to read Jerusalem Sinner Saved by Bunyan and Religious Affections by Edwards. Matthew looks bored, so I'm guessing everybody else is probably bored by this talk of reading.
I don't think they're not bored.
He's not awake, though. He's dozing off a little bit.
Possibly. I would say that just to understand that Jeremy's been doing this for a while. So if it seems overwhelming, what we would suggest to you is an example is Tim Challies every year will put out a list of how to read books. He'll give you categories, and it's like one, I think one is to read 13 books in a year, another one's to read 26, I think another one's 52, and another one's 104. So you can decide if you want to be like Jeremy and aim for 104, then those are ways
I'm
to
I'm not reading 104. I haven't said how many I read. It's much less than 72.
I understand.
I'm barely even halfway there.
I understand. But there's just...
And
there's
I'm not halfway there, as a matter of fact.
But it would give you categories of... things of ways to help you think it through, or you could use the examples that Jeremy has given you as well. But what we would encourage you is to have a plan. Don't just randomly go, well, I think I'll read this book now, and then have to figure, okay, now what am I going to read next?
And the other thing is, if the book's bad, just stop reading it. You don't have to. Don't feel like you have to finish the book because you thought it would be good. If it's bad, stop reading it. I don't feel guilty when, like that book on Islam, I didn't feel guilty about it. I tried to read it because I wanted to know the information, and it was so mind-numbingly boring, I couldn't go any further. So don't continue to pursue a book that doesn't interest you. Put it away and go get another one.
Right. The other piece of advice, which is a little bit more challenging, is to read broadly and specifically... read people who you think you're going to disagree with.
Yeah.
Force yourself to think, because it's so easy in our culture today to only read stuff that you agree with and just to reinforce, but that doesn't necessarily help you expand your ability to think. So read people you disagree with and then walk through it in your mind and understand why you disagree with it, but then also read those people who will strengthen the arguments that you have and that you hold to have both so that you expand your mind. Anything else you want to add on that, Jeremy?
I think that's really important to say. I'm just setting this out as an idea. I'm not even a fast reader. I'm pretty slow at reading. And the reason why I'm able to get through, read so much is because I'm making time for it. And like I said at the beginning, you don't have to make it an hour. If you're not reading anything or reading one book a year, then set aside 30 minutes a day and read a book. If you're my encouragement here is that reading, especially reading good, solid Christian books are going to help you spiritually. And so I want to encourage reading toward that end. But it's not just Christian books, but even fiction books will encourage your imagination, and there are a lot of positives about reading good fiction. And I don't, when I say good fiction, nothing wrong with John Grisham, but I'm thinking more like classic literature, things like that. There's a reason why these have stood the test of time. And sometimes they're harder to read, but there's payoff for the work. And I just want to encourage more reading. If you read one book last year and you read two books this year, then that, not that I'll know, but that would make me happy.
Right.
If you read zero books and read one book or got halfway through one, I'd be happy about that. That's why I'm not saying how many books I've read, because it's not a goal to beat me or to do as good as me, and I'm not the standard. I just want people to read more so that they can know God, know the world, and know themselves. And that's my goal in talking about this, to help you give some practical ideas to encourage more reading.
Yeah, I think that's good. I also think if reading is something that you struggle with, another idea you can have is find somebody else and read the book together and then talk about it and spend time with it.
Audiobooks. You can get them from the library. And I listen to C.S. Lewis Screwtape Letters on audio. I tried to read the book before and didn't care for it. I'm sure it was better on audiobook. And you can get them free at your library, and they have lots of them.
Right.
Even there's Christian stuff there that you can get a hold of, too. So that's an excellent point. If you struggle with reading, there are other ways to learn and grow other than just reading.
Right. So our encouragement to you is, and then also just in the next few weeks as we record this, a lot of sites on the internet will come up with their best book list. If you want some ideas, you can go there. They will have them collated. Tim Challies has a list. I just saw today that look at one book, and on the bottom it says, like, he puts out a best book of the month, the books that came out that he likes. So there's lots of ideas and resources. But again, our encouragement to you is simply to read, as Jeremy said, so that you know God, you know what's going on in the world, and you learn and you grow. So anything else you want to say about reading, Jeremy?
Nope. Well, that's a great job.
So let's read. That's one of our encouragements for us, for all of us, as we go into the next year, is just to spend time reading. But for now, we thank you for listening to this episode of Ordinary Fellowship, which is a ministry of Two Rivers Community Church. If you'd like more information about Two Rivers Community Church, you can find it on the internet at www.tworiverscc.org. We would encourage you to send us an email about comments or about a book you like to read. You can send those to ordinaryfellowship@gmail.com. And please follow us on Facebook at Ordinary Fellowship. But for now, again, we thank you for listening to Ordinary Fellowship, where we strive to have spiritual conversations for practical Christian living.